The Bible reading today is from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. And I'm reading from in our bulletin, so if you'd like to follow on, please do. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Well, this morning is all about forgiveness, and I just have to say thank heavens for that, because there's an old saying, be sure your sins will find you out, and today is an example of that. The starting illustration that I have in my talk for today just happens to mention my son-in-law, and he just happens to walk into church today, and I'm thinking, whoops, maybe I needed to carefully consider that and ask his permission, but he'll forgive me because he has to, because that's the theme of today, so it will be all right. But I noticed something that unfolded since John and Melissa started going out. They had this interesting dynamic take place. There was this interesting dynamic that took place in our household, and it was this. There were many occasions when the Collar family would have discussions, and as we were chatting away, we would all understand what was being said. We understood what it all meant. We would laugh together. And then as we're laughing together about this in thing that we're talking about, not realizing that it was an in thing, you'd kind of look over to John, and John would have that look on his face. What on earth are you talking about? I have no idea what's going on. And he wouldn't know whether he should laugh or whether he should be serious. And so he would just sit there and go, the Collar family's a little bit strange. Which I don't know where he got that from. Okay, so I don't really know what that was. But as John moved from being an outsider to an insider, those moments have kind of got reduced. He doesn't quite have that look on his face nearly as often. He has that look, but for a different reason now, I guess. He's just, but he starts to understand. And the reason I say that today is because when we look at this passage that we've got today, there's one component in it where really we read it and we don't quite understand exactly what Jesus was saying. It's verse 34 that Janet read for us today. In the passage we see there that there is a conversation that's really taking place between Jesus and his Father, God. And as we read this, I'm left in no doubt that God the Father and his Son Jesus know exactly what the conversation is, but we're not privy to what it actually is referring to, or who Jesus is referring to. And so we are left wondering as we look at this verse who the them is. Jesus declares, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And we're going, could you just add a little bit to that, Jesus? Could you just please put in there who the them is? That way we will all understand. But it wasn't a conversation for us. It was a conversation between Jesus and his Father. We can imagine, though, can't we, that as Jesus looked down and he saw the soldiers there at his feet casting lots to see who would get his clothes. There they were, totally oblivious to who Jesus was and why he was on the cross. Here was a group of soldiers who were just following orders. We could understand that Jesus would declare, Father, forgive them, because quite literally, they don't know what they're doing. It would make sense for him to look at them in that way. On top of that, they would have been totally unaware of the fact that actually what they were doing, which they thought they had decided to do just on that day, was actually a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that had taken place way back in David's time in Psalm 22, where it declared, they divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So they thought they were just on that day deciding to get some dice out and to have lots to see who would get the clothes. They were unaware. They didn't know what they were doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they were doing. That would make sense. But there were also other people who gather around who really, I guess, were professional crucifixion go-to people. You know, those people, it says there's nothing better than going to a good crucifixion. Come on up, we've got another one on today. There's three criminals going up on the cross. And they would have turned up and once again looked around and stood there as this crucifixion unfolding. They would have been sure that those three people on the cross were despicable, three despicable, horrible individuals. Not realizing that the one in the middle was the Messiah, the Son of God. Not realizing that God's plan of salvation was being unfolded before their eyes. Forgive them, because they certainly don't know what they're doing. If we look back a little further, there's the chief priests, the supposed people of God, and there's Pilate, and there's Herod. The people who would have had the authority to commission Jesus' execution or to prevent it from taking place. Forgive them, because they certainly had little understanding of the ramifications of the decision that they were making on that day. They knew the decision they made, but they didn't understand the ramifications of that. Or is Jesus referring to the whole Jewish assembly and a bunch of Romans in who were there as well that are crying out the words, crucify him. Let Barabbas go, a convicted murderer, but crucify Jesus. Crucify the man who cast out demons. Crucify the man who healed the sick. Crucify the man who gave sight to the blind. Crucify the man who gave hope to the hopeless. Crucify the man who fed the hungry. Yes, crucify him. What are they saying? They don't understand. Father, forgive them also. They don't know what they're doing either. And as you keep looking at the whole event unfolding, the list gets longer and longer. Surely he could be referring to his loyal disciples who had committed their lives to him, who simply fled in fear of their own life. And although Jesus had spoken about what was about to happen, none of his disciples really understood, and none of them really had the courage to stand firm. If it was the disciples Jesus was referring to, then once again, we would fully understand. Here was a group of men who should have understood, but really didn't. And then as you contemplate the whole moment, you realize that none of this is really quite about this moment on this day anyway. It's not just about the moment of this day or the events of this last week. This moment is a moment in history that goes back way beyond this week. It goes way back to the prophet Isaiah, thousands of years before, who prophesied all that would take place on this moment. It goes back to King David, who we've been looking at over the last few weeks, and how he would declare that this moment would take place. So Jesus is asking the Father to, as Jesus is asking the Father to forgive, I really believe there is so much more in this conversation than we could imagine. But Jesus knew he needed to ask the Father to forgive those who don't understand. As we've already recognized today, the world is filled with people who don't understand. And Jesus continues to plead on their behalf, forgive them. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. It's the nature of being kind, isn't it? We just never quite understand the ramifications of the decisions we make. You know, we often think that we're just responsible for this moment, the decision we make. And yet in truth, the decisions we make today affect far more than we would think. Adam and Eve didn't realize, they couldn't have realized that what they were about to do would just cast mankind into sin for all their days. David didn't realize, as we've been looking at over the last little while, he didn't realize what he was doing as he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Sure, he don't want to make it sound like he didn't know what he was doing on that day. Sure, he did. But he didn't know what the ramifications would be for generations to come. He needed forgiveness because he didn't know what he was doing. So as we get back to the story, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. We might not understand the who is, but I think there's another question that we are almost left with as we look at this. And the next question we're left with is why? Why would Jesus even bother to utter those words? I don't know about you, but if it was you or I who'd been put on the cross falsely accused, the last words on our lips would be, forgive them. We would be uttering other words. God, can you get even with them? Do you know what they have done? Do you know what Pilate did? Do you know what Herod did? Do you know what this crowd did? Look at them all out there. Every single one of them is responsible for me being up here on the cross. How about a little fairness here taking place today? We would all be there, wouldn't we? We would want justification. We would want some way in which there was our rights being protected. But Jesus, instead of wanting his rights looked after, instead of trying to get justice, he wants to go to the forgive. Forgiveness wouldn't have been my first thought up on the cross. I don't know whether it would have been yours. Forgiveness, I think, in this story is one of the great miracles of this moment. It's not often that people venture out and decide to make a highly considered dumb decision. It's not like we wake up one morning and say, you know what, today I think is the day I'm going to choose to make some really dumb decision. Today is the day when I'm going to deliberately set out to sin against God. I think today I'm going to make this decision to sin against God, and because of that I'm also going to make sure that it really damages my family. And not just my family today, but I'm going to make this decision to make sure that it has ramifications for my kids and the grandkids. So that's what I'm going to do today. It's dumb decision day, and I'm going to go out and do it. We don't do it, do we? It's not like we set out in that motion. But at the same time, I'm sure if we went around this room trying to sit list some of the dopiest decisions that we as a group of people have made, we would have a long list. A long list of some of the dumb things that we've done. As we listed them all, there would be moments when we'd laugh together and say, "Oh, that's so silly. Can't believe that I did that," and we would laugh. But I think there would also be lots of moments when we would cry. And we'd go, "How could I have done that? How could I have committed that sin? How could I have failed that way?" And we would be left with tears. There would be other moments from the decisions we've made, and you know what they are, where we would hang our heads in shame and say, "I let my God down. I let the people around me down." And we would hang our heads in shame. And there'd be other moments when we'd grieve. On that first Good Friday, as recorded in Luke 22 and 23, there are lots of people who made really bad decisions. Decisions that they just didn't realize the ramifications of what they were doing. Judas choosing to betray Jesus. The disciples falling asleep as Jesus is trying to pray. The disciples fleeing from Jesus. Peter disowning Jesus. And we went through many of the others already today as well. Really, no one understood completely what they were doing. No one understood completely what they were doing, except for two people. And this is what I really want to highlight today. I actually think there are two people in this, the whole events that take place, that really do understand what they are doing. The first is Jesus himself. Jesus knew what was happening. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he needed to ask for forgiveness. He needed to die to pay the price for everyone else. People were dead in their sin, and the only way that they could become alive was to become alive in Christ, in the sacrifice that Christ made. None of the events surprised Jesus because he knew everything needed to happen to fulfill God's plan. But as much as there would not have been any surprise, I'm sure Jesus still felt some hurt that there weren't a few more people that supported him on that day. But he was completely aware of what he was doing. The second person who I really think was totally aware and knew what he was doing is the criminal on the cross. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself." He's not the one I'm talking about, by the way. Verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This criminal understood that the wages of sin was death. For him, quite literally, it was death. He understood that. But he also understood that he needed Jesus. In almost everything we do, we really can never work out what the ramifications of all we've done are. It's only by the grace of God that we've got here as safe as we have, really, isn't it? Because we've all made those dopey decisions. But in these two people, we get to see what we do know. And it's this. The first thing we know is that we are all sinners, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. That's what we do know. The second thing that we do know is that Jesus died on the cross, an undeserved death, to pay the price of our sins. And that's why we need to ask that we receive the gift that he offers. Here is a bit of an illustration of how I imagine things happen. And I use it as an illustration because obviously it's not quite the way it unfolds, but I think it helps. Jesus declares these words on a regular basis. Father, forgive, for they don't know what they're doing. And God asks Jesus back in return, have they accepted your gift, the gift of salvation? If the answer is yes, then God says, they're already forgiven. They're already forgiven. But if Jesus gives the answer back, no, they haven't received that free gift, then God says, you know that the wages of sin is death. Always has been and always will be. And that price needs to be paid. What we remember today is a complicated and difficult day in history. In many ways, it's a sad day. But what we are given from that day is the only thing that we can be sure of, the only thing that we can know and we can know with all certainty. And it is this: God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In this one thing, the confession of their sins, and in accepting Jesus Christ, we know what we're doing. I trust that you know what you were doing and that you've accepted Jesus as your Saviour. Let's pray together. Father, as we travel through this world, we quickly come to an understanding we know very little. We're nowhere near as clever as we sometimes think we are. We know, Father, that we mess up. But we want to thank you for the fact that we can remember on Good Friday two very important things. That we are less than you wanted us to be. We are sinners. And that we needed a Saviour. And Jesus became the way for us. Father, thank you for that gift. And my prayer today, Father, is that everyone will know that freedom that comes through knowing Jesus as Saviour. Amen. Amen.